Hello, everybody. Hello and welcome. So I am just wondering, where is Michael? Are you there?
Yes, I am here. I was just waiting for the music.
Oh, you mean, okay, sorry.
It's okay. We can just begin if you like. Just like to welcome everybody. And we're continuing the work that we began some time ago. Now, today is an important day in the somewhat arcane calendar of the election process in the United States. It is called Safe Harbor Day. That is December the 8th. And it means that all states that have certified their results, and all of the battleground states have certified their results, can no longer have those results tampered with. It means that there can be no objections raised against those certifications. But of course, and that means the choice of electors should be locked in. There are a few states that have not certified, but they are not battleground states. And there's no question about them. And probably there will be no objection raised. Now, this does not stop the kinds of attempts that are presently being engineered by those who are attempting to overturn, or shall we say, steal the election. On the 14th of December, which is less now than, it's about a week away, but one day less than a week, I think, there will be the actual voting of the electors. They will submit their results. And there are some senators and other figures who are attempting to stop that from happening. Probably that will be a fruitless effort, but it is possible. See, really what the strategy is to so delay this work on the 14th of December that the Supreme Court has to take it up. And it is counted upon that the Supreme Court will decide in favor of those who did not win the election. This is a dangerous possibility. There are also other dangerous possibilities around the 5th, the 6th of January. And the attempt is, another attempt will be to so delay certification that it has to be taken up by the Congress. And if it is thrown into the House of Representatives, every state gets one vote, every senator and every state and every senator gets one vote. And what this will mean is, because the number of states that represent the Martian red, shall we say, that number is greater than the blue number, then the present occupant of the White House would be able to sustain his grip on power, and the entire election would be overthrown. Now, this is a pretty remote possibility, but every effort is being made to make sure that this is still on the table, if it has to be. In other words, if one defeat after another comes, there will be no relenting in the efforts to find arcane ways of overthrowing the election, which simply brings us back to why we must work intensively at this time, and especially also on the 14th of December, and especially on the 6th of January, where there is some kind of final vote. And then, as far as the histrionics and the drama of Inauguration Day, we cannot say what it will be, but if it is going to be dramatic, it doesn't make any difference as long as the blue indigo energy comes into power. That's the best chance for the soul of this nation. Oh yes, and of course, right, Jesse reminds me, and of course that's true. I'm just thinking about the main election. On the 5th, there is the runoff election on which we will concentrate. It takes place in Georgia, and it determines whether or not the agenda, which is closer to the soul agenda, has a chance be somewhat enacted. Okay, so I turn this over to Tuya. This is my little, I feel like a newscaster, you know. This is my little update, and I'm following it as closely as I can with what power I have to understand. It's pretty circuitous, I must say. And it's simply for the sake of stealing the election and disenfranchising millions of people. That's how much the Martian Red cares about the will of the people. So we continue to do our work.
Yes, Michael, thank you for this. For me, of course, because our system is so different here in Finland, for me it is such a thing to try to really understand how the system is working, because it looks like that it's so like it is in all, when law is written, there are always little holes, and maybe this thing, what is happening, is that this is actually giving us to see how it can be also interpreted and how it can be challenged, which is in one sense good that one is going to see those holes. We say pig's holes. I don't know, how do you call those holes, but we have this kind of expression. I don't know why it is expressed that way, that they are called pig's holes in the law, that you somehow can interpret and use the law differently as it is written.
We call them loopholes. Loopholes.
You say, yes. Loopholes. Okay.
You can slide through and get an effect that was not intended.
That's right. So anyway, yesterday we just stayed on the same slides, and shall we now continue to go further and just read first these slides? I think that would be the best method, if we would like to go a little bit more into these slides today than yesterday. What do you think, Michael? Shall we just read them through, or how do you want?
Yes, I think let's do the series that you've collected.
Yeah, they are only two slides now.
Okay, and then we'll come back and look more in detail.
Do we have these volunteers who could read? Francis is moving. I'm looking.
You raise your hand if you'd like to read. Raise your hand.
Sure, I can read.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Should I go now, or you?
Yeah.
All right. Dinah, volume 1, pages 784 to 785. Many in the goodwill work and some few in the school interpreted this as political in import, presumably believing that a position of complete neutrality, where both good and evil are concerned, was demanded of spiritually inclined people. Such people fail to think clearly and confuse an unwillingness to take sides with brotherly love, forgetting the words of the Christ that, quote, he who is not with me is against me, close quote.
Let us just go on to the next slide directly, if you, Francis, would be kind and just final that.
Let me repeat what I have oft said before. The hierarchy and all its members, including myself, love humanity, but they will not endorse evil, aggression, cruelty, and the imprisoning of the human soul. They stand for liberty, for opportunity for all to move forward along the way of light, for human welfare without discrimination, for kindness and the right of every man to think for himself, to speak and to work.
Yeah, right, that's it, you. Right, Tuya? That's the two of them, right? These two are part of a series? Right, okay. So let's go back to the other one. And does anybody have a thought here that they would like to share? Obviously, we have a kind of misinterpretation going on. A kind of misunderstanding, a form of illusion is going on, as many people think, about what the hierarchy's point of view may be. It's not exactly what many people think. So, what do we say?
You know, I think these points that to think about the words of Christ, he who is not with me is against me. And then here, what he is describing, what hierarchy stands for. Hierarchy loves humanity, and they are standing for liberty, opportunity for all to move forward. Human welfare without discrimination, for kindness and the right of every man to think for themselves, to speak and to work.
Yeah.
So I think these two principles are supposed to be thought through. What do they mean?
It's such a demanding statement. You know, he who is not with me is against me. It forces, in a way, the choosing of sides. The principles of purpose and of the plan, it must be chosen according to this, and otherwise we're part of the kind of anti-Christ energy, although he does explain that that is another way of describing the first ray. He modifies our understanding of what anti-Christ really is, but by that we mean the dweller energy. We choose between the angel of the presence or the dweller. And that sounds like an uncompromising position. And it's difficult for some people to accept that hierarchy and even the Christ would say this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can think about that all these words, what Tige was writing, is that what Christ is standing for?
Yeah.
For every single one. So who is not standing for those principles is then against the Christ spirit or Christ consciousness.
So basically, when we're asked, well, do you spiritually inclined people, do you esoterically inclined people, do you take sides? Well, it's not a true response to the Christ energy if we say, we don't really want to make a decision here. We really want to remain neutral. We cannot be against anything. You know, that's a misunderstanding. And, you know, here it establishes that. Of course, in the 1930s, there was an attempt with the new invocation, 1935, and all of that goodwill work, which climaxed in 1936, to see if something could not be done that lacked the spirit of antagonism and criticism. But it just didn't work. And there were just not enough disciples, as we are told, to change the situation so that the war would not precipitate.
So Francis, do you read that, Michael?
I can. Well, Francis is saying, doesn't he say somewhere, yes, that it is wrong to think of, yeah, he says that initiation, human and solar, that it is wrong to think of that sweet, suffering Jesus, you know, wrong to think of Christ, it was Jesus, that he is weak and sweet. I mean, remember that DK describes him as a great general and a military figure. And he was, let us remember, he was Joshua. There were a couple of Joshuas. One was a high priest. He was that too. But he was the general that was involved in the taking of the so-called promised land. And that may have been a very, very big mistake. You know, you can say something is commanded by God when you yourself just want to do it. But he was successful in that, in overcoming the rightful owners of that land and the city of Jericho and all that. So that was all destroyed under his type of energy. It's hardly the weak and sweet and constantly suffering Jesus of the fabricated thought of many people. So yes, he says that. A general and a military figure, just look at where he describes the masters in initiation, human and solar, and you'll see what I mean.
You know, I think very much is about that. What is that type of spiritual energy when the being is about truth? When we think about God, our God, our planetary God, which is said that we cannot even face him at this point. And so that there is something, because from our perspective, we can think that God is the highest one in this periphery, in this ring past knot of the planet, which is everything, who has reached everything, what are our goals. But this, when deity is already something, is manifesting through oneself, everything what is from the spiritual life, it is scary for the lower ones. And that's why I think that the power, what we are talking about here, of course, there are those aspects, but the real part of that, what makes those beings so respectful and something to be just fading away from their presence, because everything in us is like shattering down all this light what is coming through. And I think that makes those advanced, very high souls so powerful, because they don't have to put their heads down. They don't have to chase away, because they are already shining the truth.
Tuya, I have one thing. I'm not going to switch to the actual text, but I'll read it. It's short. Okay. Page 56 of Initiation, Human and Solar. It's about the Master Jesus, okay? And, you know, head of all the Christian churches right now. He is upon the sixth ray of devotion, or abstract idealism, and his pupils are frequently distinguished by that fanaticism and devotion, which manifested in earlier Christian times among the martyrs. Now, this about him personally. He himself is a rather martial figure, a disciplinarian, a man of iron rule and will. He is tall and spare, with rather a long, thin face, black beard, pale complexion, and piercing blue eyes. You know, okay, and then there's more here, but that's the idea. Page 56, Initiation, Human and Solar, and it hardly is the sweet, suffering Jesus we're always seeing portrayed on some of those old works of art from 100-150 years ago. This is how it is, and not how people maybe imagine or hope that it is. Okay.
And then from Heike, I think the confusion often is that esoteric people try to think integrating all sides and not clearly discriminate.
That's one of the second ray things, you know. That's one of the second ray tendencies, to be kind, to take all sides into consideration. There's nothing wrong with it in a way, as long as we are not absorbing that which is against the divine plan. And we don't, as you say, clearly discriminate because we want to be loving kindness, you know? Well, the hierarchy pointed it out. You can't be filled with loving kindness towards the six leaders of the Black Lodge in the East and the six leaders of the Black Lodge in the West, who were so responsible for overshadowing the leaders of the battle on the negative side. Loving kindness does not have its place with respect to those types.
I think this is what DK says. The hierarchy and all its members, including myself, love humanity, but they will not endorse evil, aggression, cruelty, and the imprisoning of the human soul. I think that is a good key thought for us to against what one can discriminate. Mm-hmm.
So that is what drove the big wars in the 20th century and could do so again.
Yeah.
Aggression, cruelty, incredible cruelty, and the dogmatic imprisoning of the human soul.
So shall we move on? Or shall we still continue?
I think unless somebody, anything further that anybody wants to say about these two slides here?
Because, you know, we have three slides. We could then read them and discuss.
Okay.
Because it is, some similar ideas. So can I have any hands up who would be burning to read? Jane is nicely smiling.
Okay.
Would you be kind and... Marco and who are there? And Joanna is always willing. Oh, Natni, very nice. Okay, we will have now wonderful readers. Okay, Jane, would you be kind?
Okay, toward the end of the second decade of my work, totalitarianism reared anew its most evil head, and perforce the hierarchy took sides against this primary principle of evil, though never against any group of human beings. Please note this. The point I seek to make is that the hierarchy is inflexibly against any demonstration of the principle of non-freedom, no matter what form it takes, but is ever on the side of humanity. The spirit of evil which animated German actions evoked every possible opposition from the forces of light and from their source, the hierarchy.
Yeah. And we continue, Marco. Thank you very much, Marco. Would you be kind?
What? Which Michael? Is Michael?
Marco, not Michael.
Oh,
Marco.
Okay, Margo. Go ahead, Margo.
Today, this totalitarian evil is expressing itself through the planning of a Russian oligarchy, through the Zionist movement, and through all groups which seek to fetter and imprison the spirit of man. But the people under the sway of this evil influence and scheming of these evil groups are never regarded in any light different to that of the rest of mankind.
Thank you. And last slide, Natni.
You're asking someone to read to you? I'm
sorry. Yeah, Natni was yeah, yes, yeah, we are I'm waiting, Natni.
Reading, but I can't unmute myself.
Oh, we hear you.
I keep unmuting.
No, who is talking now? Natni. I can ask to unmute. You were unmuted just for a while ago.
Okay. Is that okay, Natya? Or if not, then someone can read it. Who will read it? There's Natya.
I can read it, Michael.
Yep.
Okay, Joanna. Yep. Thank you.
Hierarchy 636 to 637. They are looked upon as glamored or as weak and ignorant, which they undoubtedly are, but they are never separated off in their thinking and planning of the hierarchy from the rest of mankind. The evil must not be permitted or allowed to triumph, but the unhappy and glamored exponents of this evil are loved along with the rest of mankind. This is a point which is hard for the illogical thinker to understand, but it expresses most truly the attitude of the Christ and of all who serve his cause.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think these are essentializing for us the key ideas, how hierarchy is thinking.
Yes. So back to number one, slide number one. What have we to say? Now, by the way, that's it. You know, he said in the first decade of his work, the 1920s, he had to gather the forces. In other words, he had to build his instrument through which he would work, assemble the people through whom he would work. But then, although he was busy writing all the time these various texts, the second decade brought in a very strong impact of the forces of evil. The third decade of his work looked toward the future, saw the winning of the war against the Axis powers, and basically reached towards the process of externalization. Those are three ways, you know, the three different sections of his 30 years of work. So much of what he did later in the 40s really looked ahead and gave a global point of view in the destiny of the nations and the problems of humanity. He really wanted us to see the big picture. And it was all about, really, preparation for the reappearance of the Christ, because at that time, in the third decade, the Christ made his decision. He took a very high part of the seventh initiation. It wasn't completed yet, but I think it was 1943. A very high level of love was reached. And by 1945, a decision had been made actually to reappear in his own Maya Virupa, in person that would be, at some point. And that decision released to us what we usually call the Great Invocation. That's when Sanat Kumara gave permission for that invocation to be transmitted and used. 3 decades, 3 different themes.
Right. So let us discuss about this. The evil must not be permitted or allowed to triumph, but the unhappy and clamored exponents of this evil are loved along with the rest of mankind. How do you think that evil is not permitted? How that is done?
If I can just say briefly to you, in the Bible, there's a statement, condemn the sin, but not the sinner. So there's a keen discrimination there between those principles of evil, selfishness, like he says, worse than you can ever imagine, and the poor people that fall under its sway because they're just not strong enough to discriminate. They don't have what it takes to discriminate.
But for the disciples, when we think about the evil must not be permitted, because this is relating us then to the part of action, what we need to take in the times of emergencies. So when we think about this being passive and hoping and praying, in what is in one sense accepted in certain times, but then in certain times it is not accepted by hierarchy. Hierarchy says that people need to act. So how do we understand that? What kind of way evil is then stopped? Which way it is not permitted? How do you think? Oh, yes, there are some points. Jesse is saying, seems this text is saying that the thought forms that are believed are evil, but the people who are under their sway are not evil, as it relates generally to humanity. And Francis says, if we should not send love to the evil ones, how does the Christ do it without fueling the wrong result? Very good question. Yeah. What do you think?
I have a question on the first and third sentence here. Who are the they we're talking about? I must have forgotten from the slide before this. They are looked upon, and who they are never. Who's the they?
Hierarchy.
No, dear.
Where, what?
No, they are looked upon as glamored. Yeah. In other words, it's the people. It's the people who
are so many days.
falling under the spell. Falling under the spell. But this whole page is about separating the human being as a soul from what the personality has become. And that actually is kind of an answer to Francis's question as well. The hierarchy deals with souls, and the soul is not evil. As a matter of fact, the soul will straighten out what DK sometimes calls the evil personalities involved. So there's no way that hierarchy is blessing the dweller aspect of any of these people who have succumbed. It is working with their essential inner soul nature and even with their higher nature, which is never evil. It doesn't even have the taint of it. It's the same as what we are. So they work with the higher aspects. And then within the personality, things are often experienced by such people which are very hard on them, but which do straighten them out. You've heard about how the soul can drive a person mad if mm-hmm. the soul senses that the person is deviating onto the left-hand path and wants to stop that deviation. Madness is sometimes the result. A terrible fate, apparently, but one which has to do with dealing with the soul and not supporting the selfishness of the personality.
Okay, Karen, you have a comment?
Yeah, in answer to the question that was asked about, how do we stop the evil? It's when people of goodwill take a stand, and each one of us is responsible for our thoughts, our behaviors, and our actions. So when we take a stand, by voting, by supporting certain people in whatever way or through whatever community work, that's important because we're held accountable for that. And it seems to me one of the things that, getting to this discussion of maintaining the neutrality, for me, I have never had a problem about that. I always kind of know where I stand. And so, I've always thought that trying to be more neutral is more spiritual, and so this is a very helpful discussion because I believe, for one thing, I just can't sometimes not take a stand on something. Now, that doesn't mean I might go out and shout from the, shout at people or, go down on the street corner and preach. But mm-hmm. it certainly means that I go with those groups who are on the forces of light that I see are on the forces of light and support mm-hmm. those groups and actions and people who also do that.
That's good. And thinking truth, we've talked about that, right? Thinking truth, one person thinking truth, and then by extension, speaking it, acting it, but even thinking it can affect the entire surrounding. So that gets back to the Yoga Sutras, doesn't it? That when thoughts contrary to yoga arise, substitute the thoughts contrary to the contrary thoughts. So we have to, dear?
I'm sorry, Joanna is there. Have a comment.
Okay. Yep.
Joanna, you have to unmute yourself. Joanna.
Yes.
You have to unmute yourself. Okay.
Yeah, she's good now.
I'm just a little slow. I just wanted to just share a really concrete example of someone who took a stand just yesterday, maybe the day before. He was in charge of upgrading all the voting machines in Georgia. He was a Republican. He was 50 years old. He voted for Trump. And he went online and spoke and said, enough is enough. Trump has to stop. There is no illegal voting in Georgia. I know because I was there. It is wrong, and the threatening of people's lives because they don't mm-hmm. agree with Trump is wrong. And it went viral. And he was just a low guy in the totem pole, but he took a stand.
Yeah.
Difference. It made a difference. Georgia is done. And
that is one part of this when we think about human groups, that we open our mouth in the right time. When we see that there are absolutely false things, when we know we are, like in this example, there is a person who is involved in the process, that is a big tendency in humanity and in human nature, that it is shading away and not opening. and say how things are if you know how things are. That is one example of those that we can do.
And he made a point of saying, I'm a Republican and I voted for Trump, but Trump is wrong. I just was like, yay!
Yeah. A few people who put principle first. These are the brave ones. And if people are so craven, you know what I mean? It's a special form of being cowardly. Like so many of the leaders on the red side, they're just cowardly in the face of principle. There are a few who dare to speak out, but they're just afraid that they will lose their place, their seat, whatever. Mm-hmm. And until we all are going to learn how to stand on principle, and not just, you know, thinking it is great, but mm-hmm. then when we talk about, you know, the four freedoms, it's freedom of speech, but it's mm-hmm. also the responsibility of right speech at the right time. Even right exactly. thought at the right time. Exactly. These responsibilities go with the freedoms.
So I just read a few comments and then Asha, we come to you. Heike says, we would always stop a child doing wrongs. We would stop it doing that, but still love it. We would not let them do cruel things and wait in the hope that they develop better ways. Beautiful.
That's correct.
And then Jesse says, we can send out loving and understanding discernment to those that are clamored or lacking in truthful discernment, helping to build this into their bodies.
Yes, and as much as possible to work with the soul of others, from soul-infused personality to the soul-infused personality, from soul to soul. This counts for something. It's not like going around and trying to correct everybody on the personality level, you know, like we perhaps think we should. But there's something more about helping people invoke the soul, and the soul will manage more and more of the correction. It's that way with the esoteric healing arts as well. Soul to soul. And DK gives us even a general meditation in esoteric healing exactly about that. We don't get in there necessarily because we don't quite know fully what we're doing and start manipulating all kinds of things within the personality. Some people do and they know what they're doing, others don't. But when you're working from soul to soul, more possible.
DK says that one of the big things for disciples is to learn to read energies. And that is, I think, one of the big things, not only for disciples, but for everybody, that we start to look the energies and not only looking that appearance or the words we hear. We have to look behind the words. Sometimes the firm words can have so loving energy behind, and then the opposite. You have mm-hmm. quiet, kind, sweet things, but the behind energy is just binding and diluting. Okay, Asha, you can unmute yourself.
Go ahead, Asha.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, it's quite loud, actually. Quite loud.
Oh. All right, I just moved to the speaker. What you just said earlier about soul to soul, as we did in the soul healing, is a segue into, now, if we are seeking to go inward from the place of identifying as being, and today, by the way, it seems to be a Mother Mary's very immaculate conception, and that made me think of holding the immaculate concept in a super quieter way. I am following the news, but there's a point where I just scan it. My part of me, my personality self, needs to put a boundary to how deep I'll go into the news. And then I step back. But my desire is to tap your wisdom and the readings that you're so familiar with. In the silence and in holding the vision and seeing it all as unity, I just wanted to open up that approach to holding the vision for the highest good of all, where the personality self doesn't necessarily know what the highest good of all is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've been listening to all this. I'm learning such a lot from the comments that you make and the readings. It's just a wealth of information. And yes, we have duality, we have right and wrong. And you're speaking to the unify, if and not the us and them. And yet at times when I hear like that from the Georgia person they saw, I was have to move the truth, I they have to go through to get from their life the protection and things like that, and you know, how far have we come. I feel very confident and I hold constantly that we are victorious in this. It's going to be soon. I keep holding that and I remain very optimistic in my feeling world and in my thought world. Sometimes I lose that and then I seek to raise my vibration again for that. And that's how I personally am handling it. I'm not involved in any political things or whatever, and I'm holding this vision as a wonderful opportunity, and I thank you for this to join in the group like this. But how does one, if one is seeking to be in a place of being? I mean, if one is in harmony and balance in the person aligned, that is a form of service, isn't it, in this?
I think it is, Asha. I think it is. You know, we all have our own ways, and when the condition of our soul-infusing personality is balanced, we do have an effect. Yeah, we do have a positive effect. Everyone has their own way. There's something going on with your, I'm not sure what it is. It's something with the transmission from your machine, which is causing some distortion. I'm having
Just talking from the mobile?
No, I just switched actually because I was having problems hearing it, so I switched my mobile to my tablet like 5 minutes ago.
Do you have a headphone?
I do, but I'm using actually a Bluetooth speaker. So if I put that on, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, the only thing is I was having a little trouble hearing. I don't know. There's some kind of machine noise going on in the background.
Yeah.
But I think
the metallic sound.
Yeah,
Thank you. Thank you, Sasha, from all of your points. And I'm just thinking it's 10 to
me now?
The hour.
I have my headphones.
Oh, much better. Much.
Use that.
Okay.
But then, okay.
Well, then we hear you.
I've tried so many devices. I have such difficulty. I keep switching.
Oh, that is like you are in the same room now.
This is a discovery. Oh. Okay. We have now a discovery. Okay.
My point was, if you're in a place of going inward, how does the spiritual aspirant serve and contribute to this vigil in a way almost like out of silence? Can you just be very, you know, like we're doing the 108 days in their sisterhood, I mean, and today is the day of the Immaculate Conception, and I always think of the Immaculate Concept as holding the divine blueprint. That's in my mind, that's how I've always translated it. Like Mother Mary always held the vision so strongly with such harmony and balance despite difficulties. Mm-hmm. And she almost like willed things to manifest and precipitate by doing that. There was so much power in that silence.
Maybe mm-hmm. we could talk, because this is a very big question in one sense. Maybe we would talk about that tomorrow, because it's already 10 to the hour. And
tomorrow I cannot join, but will I be able to get the recording?
Yes. And we can take then another day, because we have still slides to go. But let us make a note, and because it is a good question, and I think it is nice to respond to that.
Tuya, I'm sorry. I have one thing I want to read, very short.
Okay.
It's law number 9 in the esoteric healing book. Perfection calls imperfection to the surface. This has a lot to do with our radiation, radiatory effect, okay? Good drives evil from the form of man in time and space. The method used by the perfect ones and that employed by good is harmlessness. This is not negative, but perfect poise, a completed point of view, and divine understanding. These are the factors of that very powerful tool that we call harmlessness. And when we have mastered it within ourselves to a degree, we have a very beneficial effect on our environment simply through our radiation and consciousness. That's all I wanted to say.
That is a perfect answer. Can you, Michael, just copy it to the chat box?
And yep.
Just reading. Yes, Tia says, energy does not lie. Jesse says, there are those who try to mask their energy bodies to make them appear different than they truly are. So sensitive discernment is required. Absolutely. And then Tia says, in addition to reading energy, I would suggest that perception also be cultivated. So many people do not actually listen to people and truly observe them. That is so true too. And of course, this is what we have to always just try to become better and better and be like the Hercules in the Leo test. He turns inside in him his own mind and starts to hunt his own lower self. So that is what is our perception. We still can read energies wrongly. But what DK means, of course, that we actually start to read them as the energies are. And Michael was putting the law 9. Okay, yeah. There it is.
Law 9 from esoteric. It's several places in the book, 3 different places, but esoteric healing, page 295. I'll put that.
Yeah, it's sometimes everywhere we know that what DK says and synthesize the idea into the very compact ways like here. It's just beautiful. So we can study that and maybe we will take that into the meditation.
And I want to say one more thing. You know, Christ is very near now. Within 100 years, I think the hierarchy will be significantly externalized in the major planetary centers, and the wave of expectation for the Christ will be very strong. Now, when these great powers approach, the very first thing that is said in this law is perfection calls imperfection to the surface. This is the Plutonic activity dragging up from the lower depths all those things in humanity and in ourselves which we didn't want to look at. And it's going to be a hard look. It's going to be a hard gaze, because the coming of the great ones will evoke it. It will come up. And we're going to have to learn what we all really are and how to deal with it.
And you know, when we really look into that, perfection and imperfection are the same. We just have to look at why and how they are the same, like the opposing signs are only the same. It appears here in time and space as such.
There is no real yet complete perfection, okay? But we have a relative fulfillment of the archetype. And we have obstacles, and the obstacles, the last 4 years aren't the obstacles incredible to the sight. Look what we see. It's so mm-hmm. Plutonic. It's so mm-hmm. exactly what we would expect during the pre-reappearance of the Christ process.
And you know, it was just bringing me to think about this Saturn-Jupiter conjunction. Somebody just said to me that it's going to be on the winter solstice exact moment. I don't know, is it true? But it is
quite close.
Yeah.
Very close.
So it is actually, when we think about all of that, what we have been now talking, is there is going to be this kind of test which is related to the master. When we have Jupiter and Saturn together, there is something which is related to the master. And we could think and see all of these challenges. So what are those things that hierarchy is now going to look, and I suppose Christ is going to look in his people and in humanity? What ways our minds are going now? What are our actions? What our deeds? So let us contemplate that. But I now suggest that we would go into the meditation, and we will continue again tomorrow. We have been talking now 1 hour, and we thank you for all of you. Okay, and Heike says conjunction of heart and mind, exactly. Exactly. Do you, Michael, want to say something, or anybody else?
Well, you know, it is December the 20th. Well, I just happened to throw this up, and on December 21st, at approximately 11 at night, at least here in Finland, and it would be about 9 o'clock GMT, we have an exact conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. And I think I could get it even more exact if I worked on it. But there's another, yeah, even more exact is closer to 7 o'clock GMT on the 21st.
I have read somewhere, or have Michael told me about that when the star in 2000 years ago was shining, yeah, that Jupiter, Saturn,
yeah,
did have a conjunction.
Star of the East is Jupiter, Saturn. Yeah, a very, very tight.
So then it is. Then it is like now the Christ is going to be born again. But in which way?
In fact,
Joanna.
I was just going to say, in fact, in that conjunction, when we look at the sky, we'll only see one light because they are exactly on top of each other, and it will be a huge light.
Right.
Christ. Yes.
Very interesting. Oh, and very important. We have to prepare for that. Now it's the time, like that, when the 3 wise men, when they reached Christ, it was in Epiphany. So it's not exactly on the moment when the Christ was born, but then a few weeks after. But anyway, this is that now the 3 wise men are on their search. So let us remember that is for us too, to be on search at the moment. So thank you so much for your comments, for participation, and shall we now move into meditation? Okay. And I close my video. So let us take a deep breath and just center ourselves. Let us value everyone's participation. and find that wonderful energy of gratitude. When we are related to our souls and we find that how great it is to do Master's work, but how we have been stepping into the sacred circle of the sisters and brothers. We have found each other. The long journey is behind us. And now we are here in time and space. And let us already align with that coming conjunction. We have started to practice this, that we are actually not closing our meditation, that we leave ourselves to work within, in that sacred circle. So we just, in our physical brains, we hook into that, standing together. We strengthen our connection with our souls and align with the triangle between soul, mind, and physical brain, so that there is a direct and free inflow from the higher self. Expand now your consciousness, that's how we do within the group the same thing. Aligning with the our soul angel of the group. Soul mind or group mind. And group physical brain. And study this. Can you sense the direct inflow from the soul of the group? Again, consciously reads the solar angel of the United States, and we realize and recognize this vast angelic cooperation and see how our soul is now linked with that mystery of the Dharma of the solar angel of United States and the Dharma. I light the way. Now we have been practicing this already some time. Can you recognize how is this energetic impact of that I light the way? Can you find the energy of I light the way pouring from the solar angel of the United States? With the Words of the Christ, I am the light of the world. Do you recognize that energetically? Are they the same? I light the way. I am the light of the world. These are maybe new things for us, so we can continue contemplating them in our hearts. But let us dedicate ourselves into the mission of the Christ, bringing heaven to earth. And let us say together, we have gathered in your name, Lord Maitreya, be with us. Welcome his presence. Turn your inner focus now towards the three centers of United States, through which the higher energies are pouring in. New York, the throat center. Los Angeles, the heart center. Washington, the head center. And we try to recognize that quality which is coming through this triangle. Keep on going to study that during these coming times so that we become more and more sensitive. Let us hold the mudra of Dhyani mudra of meditation and will. Establish through us the kind standing, loving understanding. We will now perform the cross of divinity for protection of the group. And we will do that very consciously. We perform the cross by touching these four points: forehead, heart, left eye, and right eye. While we are also saying the affirmations, we touch lightly our forehead and say, As a soul, I work in light. Heart and darkness cannot touch me. Left eye. I take my stand within the light. Right eye. I work from that point. I never move. Visualize this cross of divinity shining forth. In front of you as it is, in front every single participant. As we now move into our experimental work of protection, we align with the soul sign of United States, Aquarius, in which the conjunction is going to take place. Through Aquarius, we are related to the coming New Age and the seventh ray, which is important. We do a certain work that Master DK is teaching and telling in the white magic. He says, occult attacks and occult powers warring militantly against the aspirant will occur, and country can be looked also as aspirant. They may make their power felt in one or other of the vehicles, and in rare cases where the aspirant is important enough, on all at once. Sometimes they will be attacks directed against the individual worker, sometimes against groups or workers. So now we just check that our physical body is relaxed. Our astral body is quiet. And our minds are steady. We have the Dhyani Mudra and the cross of divinity. And again, we create a triangle in our creative imagination. Now between the group, the personality of the group. And our unified soul. And Master R, who is the regent for America as well. And see him as the apex of this triangle. And we call now down a stream of pure white light, pouring through the lower vehicles of the group, and thus cleansing away all that hinders. Moves further see the governmental triangle filled with this white light, purifying all that hinders. And moving even further and filling the whole aura of United States with pure white light. Just link ourselves up as one with the Lords of Masters, with the Brotherhood for which we are working. Now in this stillness of the mind, visualize those masters of whom you know. And raising your vibration higher still, let us connect up, if possible, with the Johans. According to the line of politics with which we are now working. So triangle between the group soul, Johans, and Manu. We are linked to that line of politics along which the attack may come. And now we call upon the stream of violet light. And in very beautiful violet color, full of light, now pouring in via the group into the governmental triangle. And to whole United States, visualize the aura of the country being filled with this light. Pure violet light. Is pouring in through all the vehicles. And this method is only used when the need is dire. and the necessity great. In that vacuum, let us now visualize the beautiful golden color filling bringing the connection to Buddha. And visualize everything in cold and beautiful color. And you can, in your mind, you can link yourself with the heart of the sun. And we continue our protective work. Now we call the help from the angelic kingdom. We call the forces of light and the angels of protection, Archangel Michael and his saving force. We visualize his angels in every state, also activating those golden colors and white golden angels of the mental plane, organizing the mental plane, dissolving illusions, Archangel Michael, who is the protector of the Christ. We again strengthen our connection with the Christ and his mission. When we focus now more strongly with the governmental triangle, with White House, Capitol, and Supreme Court, seeing Christ standing above it, being protected by Archangel Michael, through his heart pours the pure love, pure second ray, which is also the ray of United Soul Ray, United States Soul Ray. Let us visualize the indigo ray pouring in, through the triangle now, into the group, group, distributing it to whole country. And let us visualize how it is filling the aura of United States. Thus inwardly emphasizing the soul values. We are calling the soul values. And we have 1 minute silence. Master DK, there are no limitations when true esoteric work is undertaken. To this end, I seek to emphasize renewed application to meditation and a constant steady use of the invocation, particularly the one which begins by invoking the Lord of Liberation. The Great Invocation, number 2. Let the Lords of Liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth, and coming save. Come forth, Almighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, Almighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, Almighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, Almighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. And now let us create the wheel of fire with 7 spokes of love. Let us visualize the Christ, the Lord of Love, in the center of the triangle. And before us, in our creative imagination, we create a wheel of fire with 7 spokes of love. Seeing yourself and the inner group standing. In the center and radiating the living, all-consuming substance of love from the sacred heart of the Christ. see yourself and the group as if we were that hub. And recognize the deeper we are aligned with the Christ, and the deeper we become that hub, the stronger this wheel of fire is. From that central position, we send out seven streams of living fire, radiating upon the governmental triangle in all rainbow colors. The governmental triangle being protected by this living wheel of fire, and the wheel is spinning the protective energies even further. To every single state. And finally, covering the whole country. And the inner clarion is heard. We are standing for the good law. We are calling the good law to be established in every state of the United States. We are establishing the victory of good law. Bring illumination through the evocation of the will. Bring imagination through the evocation of love. Bring inspiration through the evocation of the intelligence. May thy will be done. Not ours. We send gratitude to our fellow brothers and sisters. We may release the mudra, but in our inner reality, we continue standing together and meet again tomorrow. Thank you for everybody.